Welcome to this edition of Inside Michigan Business. Today, focused on the important subject matter of DEI, that is diversity, equity, and inclusion, a subject that's very timely, obviously important. We've got a guest with us today that's going to help us understand from a corporate perspective what, in particular, Flagstar Bank is doing to focus on its DEI program. We've got Mary Mabia, Vice President of DEI. You're the director of that important program at Flagstar Bank. Mary, welcome to Inside Michigan Business.
Oh, thank you so much, Jeff.
It's good to have you. It's amazing that we're still having to focus on this subject matter today, but in fact, we are. And you've got a big job. You know, we talk to a lot of small businesses in the community, and certainly the corporate businesses have the ability to take a leadership role that others can look to and learn from. And you guys have a focused initiative at Flagstar. Tell us about it.
Well, at Flagstar, we actually have a huge commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that was all brought about by initially strongly by our CEO. Sandra DiNello has led a lot of these efforts for us. And so with that, we took on and created a strategy that is surrounded based off key areas in order to help our stakeholders to thrive and feel supported. And so the strategy involves five different pillars, the first being diverse talent acquisition, followed by talent engagement and development. And then we have supplier diversity, community connectivity, and our diverse customers are a huge part of that. And that is where the businesses would come in.
What does this program mean to Flagstar and why? You know, sometimes programs like this are programs that are, you got to hit the checkbox. You know, we've got to have a program, right, in order to satisfy what society is imposing upon us and requiring today. But this is a program that, for many of us, has meaning beyond the checkbox. It's the right thing to do. It's something we need to focus on in order to, you know, and importantly, since we're in the context of talking about business, it's even important as it relates to, I want to make my business better. I want to do more business. I want my business to be more productive, more innovative, more appealing to the customers out there, to the market. What's driving the program at Flagstar?
Well, I can tell you right from the beginning, right? I am actually a finance major that moved over to do diversity and inclusion. So I had to make sure that the sacrifices I was making were truly a true commitment to the bank. So when the bank was interviewing me for this next step, I was interviewing them too. And in speaking to the CEO and the panel that actually interviewed me, I found that they really were committed to the program. And so what that meant was it was past being a program, right? It was a true commitment to all our stakeholders. That included our customers, our employees, and everybody else that was involved, including the community. And so when you look at what Flagstar stands for, it's truly an opportunity to make everybody thrive, right? Help people to feel supported and to feel like they have a sense of belonging in this whole diversity space. And so it didn't matter what their experiences were, what their backgrounds were, who they were. We wanted them to thrive because they were a part of this beautiful mosaic that the world has.
Of course. What's the why behind the program? I mean, Flagstar has this program. They have this initiative. It's mm-hmm. important. They've got someone leading it. You. Why?
Well, our key opportunity here is to have an impact in four areas, right? We want to make sure that we're able to have an impact on our workforce, right? And so by having a commitment to the workforce, we're able to make sure that we're giving them the tools and the opportunities to thrive. So we have a mentoring program, for example, in that area. And then we also want to have an impact on the community. And so when you look at the community, we're like, okay, what can we do to ensure that we're making a huge investment in our community so that they can thrive too? And so when you look at the BIPOC program, which is Black, Indigenous, and People of Color, we gave $1 million last year to businesses that were directly impacted by the pandemic. The other thing is, you know, corporations have so much power. You just have to be creative on how you open up your spaces. Because for the Disabilities Awareness Month, for example, we know how difficult it is for even like, it's difficult for everybody. But when you look at people with developmental needs or different disabilities, we look at them as having so many abilities as well. And so we actually open up a marketplace so that those businesses are owned by people with disabilities can be featured within Flagstar. Wow. For that, and I can't remember if we leave them open for the month or for the week, but this is where you're creating, your buying power is speaking volumes because you're using this as an opportunity to let your employees, Flagstar has about 5,500 employees. So imagine that power, right? They want to make sure they're dedicated to this inclusive space. And so you find for the holidays, because we have this in the beginning of December, so people can buy their Christmas holiday gifts right. from these companies. And so you have organizations like Dutton Farm, where they are one of the people that represented during this marketplace opening. And people can buy candles, soaps, and, you know, creams and all idea. Of these different right. things. Right. But we have so much power, is yeah. what I was saying.
Yeah, that's great.
So we have something coming up that is called that I'm calling DEI, the white male perspective or experience. And as I was testing, like I was just trying to test the market and I started trying to find out amongst my peers, like who has had, you know, conversations, just white male only is all I'm targeting because we want to address that, right? Because this Let's Talk About It space that I was talking about is exactly that, a space that will create courageous conversations. And so that's the one that I'm actually working on right now. And that will be held in May. And then the next one is the power of authenticity. And so all of these opportunities are there to help our communities and the small businesses that are in
now,
it.
Now, one might say these are important social programs. Certainly they are. But I want to keep driving at the why is Flagstar doing this?
Flagstar is doing this because it is important for everybody to be given an opportunity. And if we come in with our biases and our blind spots, sometimes we don't see people or we don't hear people because they're not interested or they don't look like us. And so we have to be intentional in that process to directly be able to impact those that are underrepresented or sometimes yeah. marginalized.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel that a diverse workforce, let's start with that, team makes for a better business?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
I mean, you can take a look at the McKinsey.
I want to hear it.
Okay.
Tell me.
Okay. I think that it really is great for business because then you have an opportunity to have diverse perspectives to be heard, right? Because if you only have one angle, you're missing out on all of these beautiful opportunities. For example, at the bank, we actually use some of our employee resource groups as focus groups. That way, we're able to listen to the people that live in those communities, for example, and understanding how we can best be able to help them. So what we thought might be important might not be as important. There might be other priority areas that drive that community. So if we listen directly to the people that are most impacted, then we're not tone deaf or we're not ignoring some of the more important issues right. of those communities.
So it helps with a broader understanding.
Correct.
It helps you appeal to the broader market out there. I mean, after all, the world is, as you put it, and I loved it, this mosaic of, you know, of various, you know, I don't know quite how to say this, of various demographics, right?
Correct.
And in order to appeal to a total market, you want to make sure that you have representation, that you have understanding, that you can relate to, right?
Communities,
to the special needs, the unique needs of any given aspect of a demographic, right?
Absolutely. That is the key. Because if you don't, again, you will unintentionally exclude. And so we want to be intentional in ensuring that we are hearing those diverse communities that sometimes can be ignored.
Yeah. Do you have an ability to measure success? And if so, how?
Yes, and that's the part I'm most excited about because we understand that things that don't get measured, you know, can really be ignored, right? And so we started earlier on with Matrix. And so within those five pillars that I explained earlier, we actually take a look at those quarterly and we report that to Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Council, which includes our CEO. And true fact, our CEO has never missed a meeting. Never. And we've been doing this for almost 5 years.
That's the dedication and commitment to the program, right?
And so we report to the advisory council, but not only that, we've even taken it to the board level. So within the board, we report annually, but we do have a committee that sits down and listens to, sees our matrix every quarter. So we have a subcommittee of the board. Yeah. And then the corporate-wide, we also have accountability to our employees, so we report to them annually.
So Mary, tell me, you've told us it's very important to be able to measure, and it is. Let's take either all or a couple at least of examples of those pillars you talked about.
Okay.
Tell me some ways that the measurement shows that these programs are working for the company.
Okay. So for example, with regards to talent, and I'll tell you some of the things that we do, things like ensuring that some of the positions, we look at diverse slates. And then we also make sure that we have a mentoring program, right? So we're doing all of those efforts in order to kind of see where these efforts are taking us in our diverse representation for the bank. So then we take a look at where we are, and then we look at, we benchmark against the U.S. labor statistics. So are we doing okay in terms of where we are and how are we progressing? What are those actions really working? Are they not? And what areas do we need to improve on? And so we constantly, you know, regroup and talk about what's going on and we're able to project that way.
Yeah. Aside from what the data shows and measuring metrics and all the rest, just kind of anecdotally, you're sitting in a spot where you can see it. You live it every day. Are things working? You feel like we're making progress?
Well, in some areas, I think we're doing very, very well and we can see the progress. And then in some areas, we have to be truthful with ourselves and we have opportunities to improve, right? And so one of the areas that I can easily talk about is we're pushing ourselves towards supplier diversity. And right now, I'm happy to report, we're getting a dedicated person that will be able to work with regards to that. But once we identify areas of opportunities, we actually go for it and improve that.
Tell us about, for example, in hiring the team, what are some of the very specific things that you guys have initiated to change the dynamic resulting in the changing mosaic of your team? What are some of the things you're doing specifically to make that happen?
One that I'm really excited about is that all of our recruiters have been certified as diversity recruiters. Mm. That makes a huge difference because then they understand what they need to do to be able to, first of all, take a look at their own biases, go into that recruiting space with an open eye. And then if they're not going to spaces where they'll be able to find diverse talent, they need to push themselves to be able to find representation for within those recruiting spaces.
And certified by who?
AIRS. So there's an AIRS certification and that's who they were certified by.
Interesting. And so that helps them how to understand how to reach a broader community to start with. So you have a better chance at having that. You know,
absolutely. Because yeah, they need to have the tools, right? Even though sometimes you try and explain it, I mean, they need to really be equipped with the right tools to make this happen. And it's just been amazing. And, you know, you have to be intentional in making sure that the people out there know about your culture. And so we're really doing a great job, even in the social space and the different places, to ensure that people know what our culture is like.
You mentioned that the CEO hasn't missed a single meeting.
Yeah.
This is an important program. How has the DEI initiative changed Flagstar? What do you observe? What do you see?
Wow. There's so many things that have happened. Remember, I talked about the four impact areas that we're trying to move. So when you look at the 9 employee resource groups that we have, they have been able to bring about, including, you know, from just the DEI space overall, we've had over 50 educational awareness programs. That takes a lot, right? But we recognize that our employees all look at information differently. Some people will look at it through the arts and some will look at it theoretically. And so we make sure that all of these things are happening, like the presentation style and all of the different ways that we bring awareness is very creative. And we continue to do that in a very holistic way. And then we also, with regards to those 9 employee resource group, we also have a policy where they're all inclusive. So just because it's a women's ERG, the employee resource group, that doesn't mean that men can't join, because they need to be made aware. You can't preach to the choir. You need to make sure that you're really opening that up.
Of course.
If it's LGBTQ, you need more than that. If it's African-American, you need more than that. And then we've challenged ourselves to also have complex conversations in the workplace. So you're looking at a place where it's okay to have that safe space where people can feel like they can really speak out. And so at the beginning of the year, for example, we started out with boosting your resilience. That meant us really trying to understand, how is the pandemic impacting our employees still? You know, we're getting into how many years now of the pandemic, right?
Oh my God.
And we all thought it would be over, right? And so, but we need to make sure that our employees know that we understand that. And then we need to have that space where we can hear from them, right? If they're stressed, we need to know what those stressors are, and we need to equip them, you know, let them understand what is available, what FlexStar is offering, to be able to help them in those spaces. What wellness things do we have available? I mean, so all of those things have got to be practical, but we've got to be willing to be transparent with each other and create those safe spaces. So I really love what the Let's Talk About It series has done. But not only are we just having awareness, but we're having action-driven initiatives from that. And then we've also increased like our board diversity. So now we just brought on board last year 2 minority women. So that's a huge win, right?
Of course,
and then,
yes.
And then when you look at, we've got Reggie Davis and David Hollis that are leading key areas of the bank, and they're all Black men. I mean, it's really great to see. And when you look back and take a look at our journey, we've got great stories to tell. And when I look at an initiative that FlagStar has given $1 million to, which is the Strategic Alliance Community Development Corporation, which is Detroit-based, and it's all to bring high-speed broadband internet to Inkster. And Chauncey Billups is involved in the project.
Wow, that's great.
And was in Detroit to actually do the kickoff. So the ultimate goal with this one is to take the program national. And so we're really excited with what the partnerships that FlagStar has and the opportunity to actually close that divide, the digital divide.
Digital divide is still a huge issue. Many people don't realize
Absolutely.
That. You think internet, everyone's got access, right? By now, everyone. No, rural areas, urban areas, certain areas, segments of the population do not have access amazingly. This is an important program. And this is the program you're focused on taking nationally?
Well, the Strategic Alliance Community Development Corporation is the one that is we're partnering with and have given $1 million to. And the plans are for it to be national, but use this as a pilot to go national.
All right, Mary, let me ask you, first I want to just ask you this. You're someone that's got a lot of experience in this area. You've been at FlagStar, what, since 2012?
Correct. I've been there 10 years.
Right, 10 years. So this is, you take pride in the company you work for,
yes,
right?
Yes, I love it.
And
absolutely
you,
love
and you
it.
Love
the culture
your
is amazing.
Role. You love your role there.
Yes.
And it's near and dear to your heart.
I'm very passionate about it.
You're very passionate about it. How does it feel to walk down the hallway and you know, meet and greet people each day that are on the team?
It's, let me tell you, when people come to FlagStar, they actually stop and talk to others and they're smiling, and just the stories that people share with me, it brings a sense of pride just because you know that people are really feeling like they belong. And for those that don't feel that, when they have any concerns, they are free to come and speak to me or speak to others in the organization. And I think that culture is what we're most proud of because it really feels like home. Away from home.
Yes. And it's you've got to have, you know, a great sense of pride over the tone, the tenor, the mood, the culture, you know, the feeling at the company that people have and seeing things going the way they are and where they're going and so on and all the improvements. It's got to feel really rewarding to you. I mean, you see you see the results of what you work hard for every day.
Right. And when you ask interns that come into the company and you ask them about, you know, what they think, and they're like, this is a great vibe. And I like that because I'm like, oh, vibe. Huh? I guess vibe is a new culture. And
yes,
I love it. Like,
right.
Let's do this. And but it's beautiful to see. And when people that are coming in from outside can feel it, hear it, and see it, it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And you're a woman of color. You were in the banking business. You were a financial advisor. Was that right?
Yes,
before?
I was a financial advisor with another organization, one of the prestigious financial organizations.
Right.
And so, yes.
And in that role, you must have experienced firsthand, that was prior to 10 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. That was
so
a
this
long
was,
time ago. That
this
was 99
so,
or something like that.
So being in that role, given who you are, now sitting where you sit, but at the time not being in the position you're in today, what did you... I'm curious, yeah, first of all, has to contribute to your sense of passion about this right now. You experienced things firsthand, good and bad. Tell us about your experience.
Wow, that's a great question. And it seems like a simple question, but quite deep. I was actually in an organization where there were like 62 financial advisors, and I was only the second woman that was going to enter the organization at that time. And so, and when you look at it, I was only the only Black person within the financial advisors. Now, there was one other Black assistant to the financial advisors, but all I'm saying is it was kind of lonely because in that space, I had just never experienced that kind of magnitude. But I was grateful for the fact that, you know, there were some people that were willing to help along the way. But it's a very difficult thing to be the only person within that group of people that don't experience the kind of challenges that you're personally experiencing when it comes to building that book of business and growing it, right? And so you had to work so much more harder to be able to get the clients and do everything else that others didn't even think was a problem. And so coming from a marginalized position, I was probably thinking about it every day, and it was something others never really had to think about in the way that I did. Even though it was, you know, they had to really push on, I was still really trying to really educate financial literacy and then get that commitment. And so that really brought about the mentality and the core competencies that I used in order to build my book of business. But I remember that being a lonely space at the time.
Lonely, marginalized, challenged. Tell us, I want to understand a little more. I want to go deeper. You said it was going to be deep. I'm not letting you off the hook on this one just yet. We want to really understand.
See.
Because you know what? That experience that you had can really help the rest of us listening to this, wanting to understand, wanting to support this issue. How did that really play out? What did it mean? You were lonely. Why? You were challenged. Why? What happened?
You're taking me to places I never expected to go
yeah,
today.
But you know what? I want to tell you, this real world experience that you had, you lived it.
Yeah.
We want to understand. We want to make it better. Help us. Tell us.
Okay. So let's go deep, right? So I'm originally from Zambia, South Central Africa, went to school in England, and then moved over to the U.S. And so I grew up seeing all of these successful Black people, Black presidents, Black doctors, Black attorneys, I mean, everything, right? And then I had Black and white teachers, and, you know, everybody was able to kind of thrive and be given an opportunity to do that. There were different challenges, but I was able to see that. And then, but to come into this space and I am looking at things a little differently because as I go into the community and as you know, people gravitate to people that are like them. And so there were times when I would be there, but I wouldn't even be seen by the people I was trying to get business from.
And they passed over you.
Right? Yeah. Or chose to say, I'd rather see somebody else. And I knew what that meant, right? Those were new experiences for me too, because my experiences were coming at me so quickly because I was coming in from a different culture where I had experienced different things. And then to be now seeing it happen firsthand, where I'd gotten the chance to get a good education and I was top in my class in the country when I graduated in high school.
You were worthy. You were
and
qualified.
And so I knew I
wasn't
was qualified,
that?
Right?
Wasn't that?
I had passed my exams and everything was cool. And I knew I had so much to offer, you know. And so the people that gave me a chance were very happy, very, very happy clients. And yet the people that didn't give me a chance just took away that much more
I think
of
that's
my
really
well-being.
The thing. That's
right?
Where it plays out right
and
there.
And that
they
was heartbreaking.
They didn't even ask you, what are your qualifications, right?
Well, I would have a profile, right, to show what my qualifications were. They saw them, but it didn't mean anything. You know, when people don't see you and they don't even hear you,
yeah,
it's a difficult space to be in.
And to remind everyone, this was 99, 20 years ago, roughly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the good news, you know, and that sets you up today to in part contribute to your passion and drive.
Oh, my.
In your current position, because you've lived it. And I think that also helps people really respect what it is you have to offer in terms of your leadership, because you've lived it.
It's not a job.
You didn't take a test and learn the stuff and now apply it.
So,
you lived it.
Yeah. And when you live it, you really are passionate about removing any barriers that may exist, ensuring that people get the education that they need. You're empathetic about where people are.
Yes.
And you want to find ways to bring down those barriers so that they can gain understanding on what this is all about. And, you know, the concept is really simple,
right? Isn't it? Yes.
It's a simple concept, which is harder to implement simply because we get into our own way.
Well, we are products of our environment, if you will. I mean, I say that in quotes. You know, we are. We do come from what we've learned, who we came from, what we know, what we're related to, who we grew up with, right? And I mean, grow up even into, I'm growing up every day.
And that's
just a reality. That shapes who we are in part, right? That's a reality. Mm-hmm. That's a reality. And so sometimes there's a lack of understanding. You have that understanding firsthand. Like we said, you lived it. You were there.
And here's the thing. I cannot aggressively convey the matter, even though sometimes it's like annoying and you just want to go there. But that's why that empathy comes into play, because I have to take the time to educate. And not only that, give examples so that simplify the process so that people gain understanding. Because if they don't, they think it's harder than it is. So if we simplify the process and show them that they have the power to make a difference and they don't do it, it's because they don't want to do it, right? And
exactly.
If they decide to do it, then we're further ahead. But, you know, there's so many examples right now in our day, right, to kind of see that we've still got a lot of work to do.
Society, it's yes, but I mean, I want to be able to say we're making progress, right?
Yes,
we are.
Especially after George Floyd's murder.
Right.
I mean, I think we've made a lot of progress in being able to speak about these things openly and also have some deep conversations. And you see a lot of companies that have taken initiative to hire people that are dedicated to bringing awareness. And we have been very privileged in that our CEO signed the CEO Action Pledge in 2017. And so we were having our days of understanding like once a year, right? Once a year, we really had those courageous conversations. But when it became apparent that we needed to go deeper after George Floyd's murder, we were having them once a month. I mean, it was that important. We started from, you know, having some brutal, like open conversations. And from listening to some of our African-American employee resource group members, we were able to capture what needed to come up and be openly discussed.
Yeah.
And then how do we support, right? It's not only that we listen, but how are we able to support in those spaces?
Yeah.
And we know that there's a wealth divide as well, the wealth gap. So as a bank, what do we need to do? So all of those things lead to action, which is why the BIPOC grants for small businesses were given out and all of the different things that you see, the digital divide space that we're, you know, partnering with. And then there's so many things that Flagstar is doing to be able to support those efforts simply because we understand and we've dug deeper into having those experiences. Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the things, talk about the post-George Floyd era, there's also the post-pandemic era now, and all those things together converging. I think, you know, we know in the post-pandemic era that consumers want to relate to companies that they appreciate beyond strictly business. Purpose matters. Values matter like never before. And I think the timing is right. We're teed up to make some progress right now for lots of reasons.
So there's a critical part to when I mentioned the CEO action for diversity and inclusion. So after George Floyd's murder, they started out the CEO action for racial equity. And they quickly realized that they had to get into the space of even like looking at policy, looking at critical areas and looking at policy. And so they asked for fellows to be given to the CEO Action. Flagstar was able to send two individuals for 2 years dedicated to just that. So they, all of their different members, this is an organization that supports about 2,000 companies within the U.S. So these are companies that are dedicated to CEO Action for Diversity and Inclusion. But then they asked for all of these companies to see if they could support the efforts by sending in fellows. And they only asked for one fellow. And we were like, okay, we can give you two. And that was dedication, true dedication. And that doesn't happen by osmosis, right? It's an intentional decision to start something like that, to say, hey, corporations, you do have a voice and you can make a difference even in the spaces of policy and some of the things that you're dedicated to in this space. And so about 200 companies are actually dedicated and have sent fellows to this space. I think that the opportunities are there, right? But we have to be intentional in looking at them proactively. And so when you look at the pandemic, for example, the employees that we had pre-pandemic are not the same employees that are in the workspace now. And then when you ask them to even come into work, whether it's hybrid or whether they're remote employees, there's going to be a shift in the type of management that is required to successfully lead that workforce. And so priorities for these employees have changed. The needs have changed. How you see them, is there proximity bias where you see the ones that are in the office and not the ones that are working remotely? I mean, there are all of these things that you have to think about, right? So again, if you're looking to help your employees thrive, feel supported, and feel like they belong, it's going to be very imperative that the company ensures that the managers are equipped to do the job.
By empathetic leadership,
exactly.
Yeah.
And that is going to be critical.
Yeah. And not only just empathetic leadership as it relates to the company's image and tone and culture within the workforce, but also as it relates to the customer base, understanding
Absolutely.
More empathy as it relates to the customer.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not one size fits all. And I'm happy to state that, you know, we've all been about customizing our, you know, how we present ourselves to customers and how we listen to them, because needs are going to be totally different. Yeah. And we need to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And those who don't are going to get left behind.
Exactly. And so this is why, like, just earlier on in our journey, we started up the inclusive workplace workshop. And that is required for all managers and leaders. And what that does is we continue to engage our managers in a very holistic way. It's a 4-hour in-person program. So it's
And you can't force this on anybody.
Well,
it's
actually required, Jeff.
No, it's required, but I'm saying, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You can require that they attend, but I'm saying for someone to really embrace this.
Yes, it cannot be forced on people. So you have to be appealing, and it has to be one that is not, forceful, because you don't want to force it, because otherwise people will reject it, right? And when people
it's never authentic.
It's not authentic. And if you force it on them. But we actually, when we first set it out, it was like, it's voluntary. And so, but at some point we say, no, it had to be required for every manager to understand that this is how we can, you know, giving them the tools to be inclusive leaders. And so initially people would come up and say, okay, I was asked to do this course.
And I was just thinking this was going to be really hard to kind of check the box.
Right. I'm just coming in to check the box. And then at the end of the program, they would come up and say, Mary, you know, when I first came in, I was apprehensive, but this was really good. And when you hear them consistently say that, you know that you're changing lives. You know that there's something else going on there. And that's what we want to do. Make sure that people really, truly gain understanding so that they can put it into practice holistically.
Understanding is critical. You can't really embrace it authentically if you don't understand.
Right. Right.
Awareness.
We're all coming from different spaces.
Leads to
different
hopefully understanding. Understanding hopefully leads to embracing
action.
The values and the essence.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads to results.
Right. Awareness to action. That's the key.
All right. Amazing. Now, if I'm a business owner in Southeast Michigan or beyond, and I'm listening to this program and I'm listening to you,
mm-hmm.
I'm learning about what Flagstar has done for Flagstar and its community and its market and its, you know, staff and team and so on.
Mm-hmm.
I may not have the privilege of being able to have a Mary Mabia on my team to help me do this right for my company. What are some of the key takeaways that, you know, can be learned from what you and Flagstar are doing that I could apply in the absence of having the privilege of having someone like you lead the program? What can I do at my business?
Okay. First of all, I have a bragging moment here.
I
actually was so shocked when one of our customers reached out to me and said, hey, I want to do something for Juneteenth for our employees.
There we go. Well, that's what I'm talking about.
And what can I do?
Right.
And so there are all of these things, right? We celebrate Juneteenth and bring information on what it is for our employees. And I was like, whoa, I can actually invite them over.
Mm.
And then they can also take tours to places like the Charles H. Wright Museum, take a tour as a team, you know, effort. And so I was just like, there are all of these things, but then I also said I was going to take the time to kind of give them the information on different ideas so that they can pick what they best wanted to do. But there's so many opportunities for partnership. But I also do a lot of speaking to companies like that to help them understand some of the key areas they can take a look at, how they can manage it themselves. Maybe they have to create, instead of having all of the different employee resource groups that we have, they can create a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee, right? One that does the all of the research and then comes back and gives it to the team as a whole. Because some companies only have a small amount of people.
They
can't do
say,
all of those initiatives. Right. And some of these things cost money.
Of course.
So how do you
and partner? Focus and energy, right?
If you're, for example, if your bank, such as Flagstar, is dedicated to diversity, equity, and inclusion, I'm pretty sure that they do have opportunities where they can help. We actually are happy to, like, a lot of times we share information with some of our businesses. We've brought in the Hispanic Chamber of Michigan, Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, invited about 300 people present, but 80 businesses represented. And we were able to share different ideas and opportunities for them to understand, you know, like, so it's those things that make a difference. How do you become a support? You can actually look at organizations that you're a part of, and hopefully they're bringing programs like that. Like, I'm on the committee for the California Mortgage Bankers Association. And through their subcommittee, I've been able to join the diversity and inclusion subcommittee, where I'm able to speak to smaller businesses that are dedicated to housing. And so we talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion, and we help their companies be able to set up programs. All of these things are efforts that you have to be intentional on so that you can bring awareness. When we had the CEO Action Mobile Unit at Flagstar in our parking lot, we actually invited the community and our partners, our employees, to be able to come in and check their blind spots. I think it was 2018 when we did that. So then they were able to experience that live, right? But celebrate it with us.
Yeah. You know, let's say I'm a small business of 10 people.
Okay.
I've got to worry about paying the rent this month. I've got to figure out a way to, social media marketing is changing. I got to keep up with that. I got to, you know, all these little things that small business owners, entrepreneurs are tasked with today is blocking and tackling fundamentals. I've got to keep my lights on. I got to keep bringing in the money. I'm stressed. I'm struggling. What are a couple things I can practically do today at my small business to make it better in this context?
So it's all about market share, right? Market
ultimately,
share, including your product or service that you're offering.
Sure.
And so when you look at the space that we're in right now, especially post-George Floyd, we can kind of take a look at the market is all around us through the internet.
The market is
has
speaking.
Just opened up. Like everybody has access to, no, I can't say everybody, right? I'm generalizing.
Well, the digital
divide,
right?
But we can really, people can really market holistically.
What you're saying is I'm not just selling to my neighbors and the people around me in my physical environment.
Correct.
Now.
Through
I can access
social,
a worldwide market, but I can't. If I can't appeal to the...
Right. So what I'm showing on that space, once they come into my space, needs to show that I'm open to do business with everybody. Mm. Right? Even if I have a niche...
How do I do that?
Even if I have a niche...
Yeah.
Oh, but you really have to understand what the needs of those populations and communities are. So even if I have a niche, who am I dedicated to? Who am I really appealing to? And am I really seeing some of the challenges that might be present for others to actually engage with me? And so those businesses really have to be aware and they really have to understand who their market base is so that they can reach out holistically. So you're looking at both the fundamental analysis and the statistical analysis together because you want to be able to see those numbers grow. What will it take to do that?
Yeah.
But also socially and everything else around, you have to be aware of those things that will make you become aware and then be able to filter those through the channels that those people are looking for. So you really have to really customize what it is that you're selling in order for it to be identified as one that appeals to those channels that you're trying to reach.
Yeah.
In addition, Jeff, I really think that there's an opportunity there for them to even contact the Michigan Diversity Council, which is a part of the National Diversity Council, which works really well in giving resources and identifying opportunities that can help those businesses become aware and also strive within their spaces. And here's something else that companies can do, right? I just know that some of the things that I personally do, when I go out to a great company or space that is diverse or not, right? I actually promote it on my social media spaces just because I know how hard it is for people to come in. But then if I've visited, I'm actually happy to kind of say, hey, this is what my experience was. And take a look at it.
Well, I have to say now, if you want to find Miriam Abiya on her social media, it's last name is spelled M as in Mary, B-I-Y-A.
Right.
I hope you don't mind me doing that,
no
but we want to make sure people can find you so they can learn from you. Yeah, and be inspired by you.
Thank you.
Did anyone ever tell you you light up when you talk about this?
Diversity.
I love it. It's
because we all can make a difference, right?
Yeah.
And there's some people that want to do more in the social spaces.
Yeah.
You know, find out what those spaces are. And let yourself be known, like let your company shine. Let them know what you're looking for and be ready, be equipped to be able to support the demand as well. Because even if you have a great product and you become appealing, will you be able to support the spaces that come up?
Right. Absolutely. Well, Miriam Abiya, Vice President, Director of DEI at Flagstar Bank, you know, it's an amazing thing. You're making Flagstar a better company all the while making our world a better place. We thank you.
Thank you so much.
Very much.
Really, yeah, really appreciate you, Jeff.
Thanks for being on Inside Michigan Business. It was enlightening, inspiring.
Thank you.
And we appreciate all the information you provided and you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. That wraps up this episode of the Inside Michigan Business Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to receive programming notifications and special event announcements by going to InsideMichiganBusiness.com. Follow us on your favorite social media platform and wherever podcasts are downloaded. Thank you for listening.